There's a general rule that when you make a bracha on something, if you don't eat it in its normal fashion, you're going to have the bracha either lowered or no bracha at all. So we're not going to go major into this sugya, but we want to look at a particular aspect of the sugya, and that is a few things that happen in Siman Reish Beis. Dvash hazav me atmarim, mevarach lem shahakol. If you have the juice that comes out of tamarim, comes out of dates, then you make the bracha of shahakol. Any juice that is extracted from any type of fruit, basically you're going to make shahakol. Here he says excluding olives and excluding grapes, because as we know, grape juice is going to be, as we discussed, is going to be hagafen, and olives are going to be ha'etz. Now, there's only one rare scenario where olive juice, otherwise known as olive oil, is actually going to be ha'etz. It's very rare that you would do it, but we'll just quote in the Shulchan Aruch: Shemen zayis im shaso kamo shehu. If you just drink a cup of oil, einim avarach klal. If you don't make any bracha, if you just drink a cup of oil, mishim dazuke mazikle, because it's just dangerous. If you remember, I told you a story. I had a boy in yeshiva who came from Austria, and he said when he was in Austria before he became frum, and before he even knew that he was a Jew. Before he became frum, so when they used to go to parties, what they would do is they would have alcohol, but before they drank the alcohol, they would drink a full cup of oil, and then they would drink the alcohol, and the oil would prevent the alcohol from getting into their bloodstream, and so then they would go and dance, and as they danced, they sweated out the oil, and in seconds they were totally wasted. It didn't come slowly, it just came right away, because suddenly all that alcohol then had an effect on him. This was his little trick that they had. So if anyone needs to share this with people, you know what to do with it, right? Right? So this is what he told us. I'm like, okay, fascinating. Yeah, because it took too long for him to get drunk. Here you get drunk right away. This was his this is a big chop on this. Okay, either way, so says the Shulchan Aruch, if you drink olive oil, it's not food. So no bracha. With bread, then you're not going to make a bracha on it because you're going to make hamotzi on the bread, and the bread is the main. So when are you going to have ha'etz on shem and zayis? Because the whole key over here is that grapes and olives are unique fruit of Eretz Yisrael. That olives, that grape juice gets elevated bracha, and olive juice remains the same bracha as ha'etz. But when does it actually happen? If you drank it with this other may silka, which they call in the Gemara anigron. So anigron seems to be some sort of beet mixture. Not sure exactly how they define it. Sha'az einu mazik. In that scenario, it's not dangerous for you. Adrabu humo lagron. It helps your throat. Imuchoshish vagron. If someone has some uncomfortable feeling in their throat, so drinking this olive oil anigron mixture, that's when it's good for your throat. So then, havilei shemen ikar, then the olive oil becomes the main thing, and that's when you're going to say bor per eitz. So that's the one scenario you have where you're going to drink olive oil, and you're actually making an eitz on the drink itself. The olive oil has to be the main ingredient, that's the ikar of it, and it has to be that you're obviously just doing it to help your throat, because otherwise you're just drinking olive oil by itself, has no bracha. So that's the scenario you have. V'im einu miskayim l'refuah, but if you have no intention for refuah, el l'achila, just to eat it, have the anigron nicker than the anigron, which I guess is type of beet juice, is the main, and you don't make a bracha except on the anigron, and you make that shahakol. So that's your eighth scenario when it comes to olive oil. I'm not sure how applicable it is to people, but something just to understand when olive oil actually remains in the same state as the olive itself and has that bracha. So we just said now that if you have any other liquid that comes out of a fruit, you're going to make the bracha and shahakol on it, excluding these two scenarios I gave you, the olive oil scenario and the and any grape juice scenario you have. Now, it's not necessarily so clear that it's all the time. We'll see also that sometimes on juices, the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that orange juice, you make a ha'etz on orange juice. What do you mean? It comes from fruit. What's the problem? So he says that it should be shahakol. But his opinion, the Chazon Ish's opinion, was you make a ha'etz on orange juice, primarily because of the fact that those oranges were grown for juice. So if you go to Tropicana Farm, those trees that they have over there, they're not orange trees, they're orange juice trees. The oranges are grown for juice, and therefore the Chazon Ish's opinion is that you make a ha'etz on orange juice, whether it has pulp or doesn't have pulp in it. In America, most of us follow the view, I believe it's from Moshe Feinstein, that we make a shahakal across the board on orange juice. But understand that there are opinions that will tell you to make ha'etz on it because that's specifically what it's grown for, and therefore you make ha'etz. Again, we usually make a shahakol on orange juice in America. So that's how you understand how juice actually works. What about in a scenario where you're not actually squeezing it for juice, but rather you're sucking out juice? If you're sucking out juice, that might fall under a different category. So we're going to quote the Shulchan Aruch, which mentions it in a backhanded way somewhat. Sukkar, what bracha do you make on sugar cane? On sugar cane, you say shahakol, v'chein hamotzitz kanim metukos. On regular sugar, you make a shahakol. And if you're sucking on cane, you also make a shahakol. So why is this? Why not hadama? We'll see here in a second. He says, in their lands, they would grow this sugar cane, and they would squeeze it, and they would cook with it until it became dom sheyikve v'yidmelamelach, till it looked like salt, like our sugar today, our powdered sugar, right? Or regular sugar that we have. So it's a shahakol. It's no different, dvash tamarim, like we just said, it's something you squeeze from the original fruit. Just like you squeeze a fruit, you make a shahakol, so too you squeeze a sugar cane, you also make a shahakol on it. And it says, the chashmina le kazea ba'alma, it's like the sweat of the fruit itself, and therefore the bracha shahakol, it's not like the main part of it. And certainly in this scenario, shenishtanu ayde habishul, it doesn't look like the original cane, and therefore, since it's changed the cooking process, certainly again, you're going to make a shahakol in another category to understand that whenever you change the way it looks through a process of cooking and the like, it's going to get a different bracha, it's going to lower down a bracha. V'chein hamotzeitz. So then he says, if a person sucks on it, what does that mean? Shemotzeitz kanei sukkah ba'atzma. He's just sucking on the cane. You also say shahakol. Why? Tehahakana ba'atzma eitz ba'alma. Because the cane itself is like a tree. And you can't eat it. It's like a branch. You can't eat it. Elashiesh b'metikos, but it is sweet. Vim cane lo adif amotzis amatikos me'etz is no different than sucking out the cane. Me'ilu sachet et hazeh hazos ishto. No different than if you somehow squeeze it out and drank it. It's the same thing. V'chein v'chai adam. V'chai adam explains, so too a person who chews on licorice. Okay, what do you translate licorice as? Here he quotes as shush. I don't know, anise maybe, I don't know if that's what it is. So he says in that scenario, the same thing, gam kein im bracha l'shako, you're getting the flavor out of it. This is where we also learn that you make a bracha on gum from the same thing. So if a person's eating gum, you're making a bracha on it because you're getting the flavor out of it. It's also why gum has to be kosher. So you make a bracha on gum, so when you eat gum, flavoring is going into your mouth, no different than these other scenarios as well. So we said same thing by this licorice. You say shagut gamu eats ba'alma elishishro tamatok. It's sweet. It has a flavor that comes out of it, but you can't actually eat the actual branch itself. So that's what he basically says in this scenario. He does say it like this. Veda, you should know that the Shulchan Aruch told you shahakol on it, but the truth is there are other rishonim that actually say that you wouldn't make a shahakol, that maybe you'd make ha'etz on it, on the sugar cane. V'lam b'di'eved. And b'di'eved, like Mati said, if you said bar pira eitz or bar pira adama, you're also yotze, you fulfilled your obligation in it. V'chein b'tzukar shalanu, shenasa mi borekas. I didn't know borekas was anything besides a flaky dough. But here he says that today's sugar is made from borekas. Right? Borekas here, they say selek sukkar. What is that, beet sugar? Selek sukkar, somehow that's called borekas in Yiddish. I don't know.
That's where they get sugar from.
From beets. Well, why is it called berekas? I don't know why it's called.
In English, they call it burek.
Burek, yeah? Is beet?
My mom used to call it in English burek.
Interesting, right? Look at that. Gam ki yesh baruch le shahako. So berekas is called beets, or burek, right? Not the flaky pastry dough. Therefore, in those things, baruch le shahako, v'dyeved, if on those things also you made hadama, you've also filled your obligation. So this is where we get this idea from, that it's got changed a level, it's a liquid. Now if you sucked on a liquid, if you took a grape and you sucked on it, it's questionable if you actually make hagafen on it, or if you make ha'etz. I'll take a question in a second. Because of the fact that you're eating it as a fruit, or you're eating it as a liquid, what are you doing it for? That's the question. So if you are squeezing into your mouth, and it's like clearly you're doing it as a liquid, seemingly. But if you're sucking on the fruit itself, so that's a question over there. There's a debate on this, whether you're actually going to make a shahakol on it or you're going to make a eitz, because it's still like the actual fruit itself. That's a quote over here from Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Ben Yishchai that say, it all depends if you're drinking it derech le'isa, you're doing it like you're chewing on it, and then you're going to spit out, let's say, the pulp. So in that scenario, you make ha'et. But if you're squeezing it, shalah yidei le'isa, if you're sucking on it somehow without chewing on it at all, rather you're just holding the fruit and then squeezing it out or sucking on it, then you'd make a shahako in that scenario. So that's those are scenarios we have. Again, with gum, as we said, that's where we learn one of the halachas of gum from. They're getting flavor from it. Alex, question on it.
If it's a grape juice blend with mixed with cranberry or apple or something else, what they need?
So most of those grape juice blends, you have to know how much content of grape juice it is. Whenever they tell you grape juice blend, it's a marketing ploy to tell you that that there's a lot more of something else. Usually like apple juice and pear juice. It's usually those things. It's probably shahakal on it because it's probably not that much grape juice in it. You have to look to see like what number grape is on the list or if it tells you the
proportion.
Yeah, so it has to be, I believe we said it has to be 1/3 grape juice. I think 1/3 or 1/4 grape juice would be enough to make it grape juice. Huh?
Ingredients, the first thing is apple juice.
Right, I say apple juice, pear juice, and something else, and then grape juice will be on the list over there, so that's probably why it's probably shahakal in that scenario. Alright, somewhere in the bottom. Yep.